Mainline Protestant churches have softened and even rejected the Bible, the gospel of salvation, and biblical sexual morality. Even in evangelical churches, only about 10% of members have a truly biblical worldview. Satan desires to do to the Bible-believing evangelical churches what he did to the mainline churches, and he's made progress. Your financial support now is critical to AFA's efforts to defend and strengthen the church. Go online at afa.net/equipchurches.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
At the rate of inflation, what would the $6 million man be worth today?
That's a good question.
But the lady sent me the wrong shirt. The one I got had Huey, Dewey, and Louie on the front of it.
Is that true?
At least he didn't say, you know, Larry, Moe, and Curly.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Today is July the 17th, 2026. And joining me in studio is Bert Harper. Good morning, Brother Bert.
Good morning, Tim. It's good to be with you.
And J.J. Jasper.
Great to be here. It's been a hot summer for everyone. Sad story. In Tupelo, Mississippi, where our flagship station is located, we've got a really nice glorified petting zoo, and it's called the Tupelo Buffalo Park. So sad. It was so hot yesterday at the Tupelo Buffalo Park. Their water buffalo evaporated. so sad. And I feel bad for the kids that were there.
They had
Brother
to see
Bert.
That.
That'd be hard to unsee.
Yeah. Yeah. See a water buffalo just evaporate right,
right
before your very
right.
eyes?
You see a water buffalo, then you just see this big pile
right.
of skin.
Right. It's sad.
Oh, it's just terrible.
Yeah, sad. It was on the news last night. I saw it.
It should be. No, I tell you what was on the news. Bison throwing that fella up in the air.
8 feet in the air.
That just kept repeating.
He lived to tell about it.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Grandpa?
Right.
Talking about Grandpa going flat with his wearing his suspenders and his, his Duck Dynasty beard. And that bison comes along.
They just throw him up. He spun him a few times.
This really happened. It was Yellowstone, wasn't it?
Yellowstone.
I think so.
Yeah, and the bison chased him down and tossed him around like a rag doll.
So our friend John Evans, a faithful listener, he sends us funny things. You know how these fighter pilots will have little, the enemies that they took out, they'll have the little picture on the side of the plane. You've seen that in pictures and everything. They showed a picture of a bison. And they had a man flying through the air, stenciled on his side. And he had like four that he's done like that.
Don't mess with the bisons in Yellowstone or anywhere else for that matter. Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. You are eligible to call in, and I'll give you the number. If you have not been on the air with us in 8 weeks, we have an 8-week waiting period between appearances. First-time callers are welcome, or anybody else. But you have to have waited 8 weeks to make an appearance on this show, Trivia Friday. The phone number to reach us is 888-589-8840. Again, 888-589-8840. Please call with your question, your trivia question, and be prepared to answer one of ours, which we're about to give. You need to be 11 years old or older call in on the show. What else we got? JJ, what else have we got?
Well, these original nine questions, one is a mystery question.
It's a mystery question.
If you happen to land on that question and answer it correctly, you're going to hear this sound. The beloved cowbell. And you're going to win a really nice, newly designed Learning University t-shirt. Third design, and it looks like a college seal, like you would see a major university. Very, very fitting for Learning University.
I'm holding it up right now.
So you have a chance to win that. So be listening closely. And you card counters, if you've just returned from Vegas, you kind of listen for all nine. And if you get down to 6, 7, 8, I know which question it is because this was one of the original nine. So we're going to give you a little loophole how
that
you could win.
That was good advice.
I'm looking out for our listeners,
are.
Brother Bert.
Way to go.
Those poker players.
All right, so go ahead, Bert.
Okay.
Ed's out today. He's
Here's my three.
That's an okay. attitude problem.
I always have one with a Bible and one
on
maybe a crisp question.
I didn't dwell on it when I talked to him. I just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's an HR problem. That's out of your hands.
I just said, you know, you take a day off or two and deal with it. You know,
just
come
every
back
once in a while.
And quit whining.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Which judge, Bible question, which judge delivered Israel by killing 600 Philistines with an ox goad? An ox goad, okay?
Wow.
That's something.
What
one
now?
One weapon. Which state is the most landlocked state, which means you would have to travel at least through three other states to reach an ocean, a gulf, or a bay? Let me repeat that. That means it's landlocked,
okay,
not next to the ocean or the gulf or the bay. Which state?
You say
is
Gulf?
Not the Gulf.
L?
Not the Gulf.
Oh, the Gulf.
The Gulf
okay
of America.
I got you.
You got that. Okay. Which state is the most landlocked state, which means you would travel through at least three other states to reach an ocean, a gulf, or bay?
All right.
And here's the, and maybe a Chris question. What is the name of the gasoline that is sold at Wally's filling station? Now, you got to say filling station. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Down in the South, when we go, it was filling station. What is the name of the gasoline that is sold at Wally's filling station?
Here's what I've got. First, a Bible question. What was John the Baptist's dad's name? You may remember that story in Luke 1. It comes up a lot during the Christmas story. John the Baptist, what was his dad's name? Second question, which U.S. state is nicknamed the Silver State? Which U.S. state is nicknamed the Silver State? Third question, true or false? A woodpecker's tongue is so long, it can wrap around his head twice. Is that true or false? A woodpecker's tongue can wrap around its head twice. True or false?
Yeah, but a woodpecker is known for the
pecking.
Yeah, pecking. So I don't know what you even need a tongue
might
for.
Might not even have a tongue. I could have made it up
okay
this
you're
morning.
Saying it's true or false.
True or false.
I got
that's
you
right.
All right. So here are my three questions. Number one, from the culinary world comes this question. Y'all know what culinary means?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
enjoy their work.
Yes, the culinary. The culinary.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you know, the culinaries versus the McCoys. That was quite a battle
feud
right there.
It yeah really was.
Culinaries.
Mr. Food fight.
Yeah. All right. So first question that I have is, what is the Pillsbury Doughboy's real name? Pillsbury Doughboy? Everybody
that's
knows
good
who that is,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
He's
yes,
still
sir
around, right?
I got you.
Okay. You know what his real name is?
I think I do.
All right.
I'm going to write it down for Brother Bert so he won't think I just said it and didn't know it.
Here's my second question, and if you can answer this question, what I've got right here.
Something like that, Brother Bert.
If you can answer this question I got right here, and you don't look it up and you don't ask anybody, you just know it on your own, and you call in and answer it, we're going to send you an AFR Trivia Friday T-shirt.
Wow.
Okay.
Two ways to win a shirt.
That's right. So here we go. If you can answer this question without needing any help. What states border the Great Lakes?
That's a good question.
Okay. What states border the Great Lakes?
Under normal circumstances.
Under normal circumstances.
The Great Lakes. So you got five. So you got, okay, five yep lakes, right?
Five lakes.
Okay.
I don't know which states border them.
Okay.
Right now.
Gotcha.
If you do that by memory, you don't look it up, you don't ask somebody.
Can't have a lifeline.
Yeah, we'll send you an AFR. Maybe, you know, if you want to ask somebody and call in and answer, that's fine, too. I'm just not going to send you the T-shirt. It'll be your loss. All right. Here's my third question. You ready? Snickers is the best-selling candy in the United States. Candy bar. Snickers. Okay. I want to know what the next two are.
Oh, wow.
I want to know that what the next two best-selling candies / candy bar are in the U.S.
Good question.
Okay.
Real good. Makes
right
me hungry.
All right, let's go, Bert.
You got culinary today,
yeah,
man.
I got culinary down. I got a couple of food questions there.
Okay.
But anyway, everybody, Snickers is the best-selling candy bar. What is number two and number three in terms of the candy whirl sold that Americans love in the U.S.?
Good.
Okay, go.
Okay, let's go to Texas, and Dennis is on the telephone. Dennis, thank you for calling.
Well, you're very welcome. I appreciate you guys, and I've appreciated the ministry of your radio ministry. I'm calling from Greenville and listening on KTXG, and it's a blessing all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Greenville there, Greenville TX there, absolutely. Thank you for calling, Brother Dennis. You want to ask, answer, or both?
Well, let me try to do both.
Okay. Which one do you want to take shot at here?
It seems like a lot of your questions today are about the state, so let me answer the question about the most landlocked state.
Here we go.
Wow.
Okay, Bert.
I thought that would – I was hoping somebody had tried, Tim. Okay, which state is the most landlocked state, which means you would travel through at least three other states to reach an ocean, the Gulf, or a bay?
That would be Nebraska.
Woo, that is
wow.
Right.
Wow. Go,
nice
Dennis.
Job, Dennis.
How did you know
I've
that?
Been there. I've just been there a few times and lived on coasts and realized that Nebraska is about as dead center as you can get, and far from the coast and the lakes and stuff. So, Nebraska.
Now, well, you got it right, brother. Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Why wouldn't somewhere like North Dakota be the furthest away, would you think?
Well, you can go, as I understand it, what they said in North Dakota, I think you can get to a Great Lake. Now, I didn't say
a Great Lake counts.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think it counted as well.
Okay, I got you.
I looked that up, and that just intrigued me.
Yeah, but
so Kansas has the, I forgot which place in Kansas is supposed to be the very center of the lower 48, mm-hmm. which is, you know, not far from Nebraska.
But Nebraska is landlocked.
Landlocked.
Hey, okay. Dennis, you really starting this program off great with your kind words, and then right out of the chute, you get the question correct. What's your question for us?
Well, I got a question for you, and it's geography, since a lot of the questions today were geography. Here's a question. If you drew a line due south from the city of Miami, Florida, would it intersect South America or not?
I ask that one more time. I'm going to process this as we go.
All right. If you were in the middle of the city of Miami, Florida, and you took a compass heading of due south, and you followed that line due south all the way to the South Pole, I guess, would it or would it not intersect South America, the continent of South America?
Dennis, is this under normal circumstances?
Yes, this would be in normal magnetic readings.
Okay, listen, I'm thinking, without looking at the map or the globe, if you can leave Miami, you're going to run over Cuba, okay, with the straight line, right?
That's right.
And then you're going to
the island of Hispaniola. You're going to be right in there, skirting past
what?
That would be that's
DR.
Too far. That's too
no,
far
you're way,
east.
You're way over.
Oh,
you're
that's
going
too,
east.
Too close to Puerto
yeah,
Rico.
Yeah, just leave this to me.
All right. Go.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, you are a geography king.
I'm not bragging.
Keep going.
Just, okay. So if you're coming on down.
Cuba.
You're almost, yeah, you passed Cuba.
Waved Castro.
Yes, he's dead, right?
His brother's around.
Oh, his brother's around.
Maybe.
Leave that to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you're gonna go over Jamaica, I think, and then you're gonna come on down. I don't know because Brazil jets out right there, but I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say you don't.
I'm gonna go with the master. I'm gonna say no.
I'm going against him. I'm gonna say it. Brazil
I believe jets
it
hit, out.
I'm just guessing.
You may be right.
I'm trying to picture my globe. I keep my globe right there in my office, and I'm gonna say yes. You'll hit Brazil, just the eastern part.
All right, Dennis.
One of us is right.
Our listeners are hanging on every word. They've got their guess too. What's the answer?
Bert, I've heard you answer so many questions correctly from the Exploring the Word program that I hate to say it, but you are wrong. It does not intersect South America.
Way to go, Tim.
Good job, Tim.
I challenged the king, and I failed.
Yeah, you challenged Rand McNally's little brother.
That's right.
It does go over Jamaica almost, doesn't it?
At break, I'm going to run and look at my globe.
You know, all right. I don't even remember that. Okay, but we lived for a lot of years in Puerto Rico, and it was always an interesting geography question. You guys got it most of it. Sorry about that, brother.
Hey,
Thank you, brother Dennis.
Yeah, good.
All right. Thank you, Dennis, calling in from Greenville, Texas. You're listening to American Family Radio. It's Trivia Friday. We're here every Friday dishing out some education and having a little fun. And all right, so Tim, Bert, and JJ, who's up next, Bert?
It is from Arkansas, Marion. Is it Marion?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you, Marion, for calling. What part of Arkansas you live in?
This is Rogers.
Okay.
Right here in Sam Walton.
Right.
Great Bible name, Moses' sister.
It is.
Or Miriam. Was Miriam.
That's Miriam with an M there on the end. Hey, do you want to answer, ask, or both?
Both, please.
Which question do you want to take a look at?
I would really enjoy taking John the Baptist's father.
Here we go, right out of the Bible. What was John the Baptist's dad's name?
Zechariah.
And a wonderful story of the angel Gabriel appearing. They had been praying for a son. Your prayers are answered, almost like Rhoda answering the door for the disciple. And like they're having a prayer meeting. Hey, it's me. No, it can't be you. You're about to get killed. We're in here praying for your release from prison. He said, hey, I've answered your prayer. He didn't believe it. And so he was struck, unable to speak until he wrote it out that the child's name will be John. Great story.
Usually it's the middle name, you know, you're named after your father, but I didn't think it was the.
Yeah, and Rhoda and Mary were great friends. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that flopped. Yeah, that flopped all right. Completely.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Rhoda and Mary were great friends, too. A lot of people don't know that. Huh?
Mayor Tyler Moore and Rhoda.
I got it.
You got it, Bert?
Finally, I got one.
My joke almost flopped, but Bert got it.
That's good. Hey, good job. Thank you for reading the Bible and knowing the Word. What's your question for us?
Okay, we just finished the 250th birthday, but in a way, we're really still celebrating, I think, throughout the year. But my question is, I remember in 1976 when we had the 200th birthday, they brought about the term bicentennial. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and so I had to do a little memorizing. And, well, now it's commonplace, bicentennial. Well, the 250th anniversary is more important than the 200. And yet nobody talks about the special name for the 250th birthday. And so that's my question to you. What is the name of the 250th birthday? And I'll give you a hint. It ends in centennial.
Thank you for that good hit.
Yeah.
I've seen it and heard it, but I do not remember.
There's a name for
that. Yeah, came up with
a
name.
It's kind of a little bit longer than bicentennial. It seems like it's a little bit.
What is it end with, Marion?
Centennial. It ends in.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. I remember now. It's tryptophan centennial. And they thought it'd mean more around Thanksgiving.
You know, that has a lot of side effects.
Yeah, it does.
Exactly. And
it takes longer to explain them, too.
You start taking that stuff.
We don't know, Miriam. What's the answer?
Sester centennial.
Sester.
And it's just like if you say brother, sister, only instead of sister, it's S-E-S-T-E-R. Sester centennial. It's all one word.
So that.
And if you were to Google Sester centennial, it would say the 250th anniversary of something.
Okay, so does Sester mean 250?
It has to do with the word half.
Half, okay. Like half a century. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
Sester. Yes.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm trying to get it from my brain to my tongue.
You know, but a lot of us our age, and Marion, you're about our age, sounds like to me in that category. Remember the 200th, what a special year that was, 1976.
I was telling some of these young whippersnappers because of the excitement around that. Maverick came out with a Ford Maverick, had red, white, and blue with a little sprinkle of stars. Vans that had the little porthole window in the back, they came out red, white, and blue. And that was pretty fun for 1 year. And after you saw one that was 2 or 3 years old, it looked pretty tacky. You know, I see a red, white, and blue with a flag, you know.
Candy corn, things. They had a red, white, and blue.
That's too. Right.
You know, I remember those. You remember those?
I do.
Candy corn.
Wait, did they really?
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue.
Oh, I thought
you
were just messing with us.
I still got some.
Yeah.
In your Y2K.
Yeah, my Y2K closet.
Yeah. Prepper batch of stuff. Hey, thank you. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to AFR.
Thanks, Marion. Appreciate it very much. So what was the word?
Sestertennial.
Sestertennial.
No wonder nobody uses it.
Yeah.
You can't even hardly say it. You
hard
gotta be
to
careful
say
when you do.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd rather say 250.
Yeah, 250. Right. See, all right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We will take another call before we have to go to break. Who's up next, Bert?
From Ohio, it's John. John, thank you for calling. Go right ahead with your – do you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'll do both.
Okay. Well, great.
Where do you live, John?
Shelby, the bicycle place.
Oh, okay.
Where they made bicycles.
Okay.
We just had our parade and fireworks.
Oh, wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, and Shelby, is that, are you having that smoke effect there, or is that too, is that?
It's kind of clearing up now.
Okay. I know.
It stinks out outside, though.
We have a colleague here who's from Michigan, and he talked to his folks back in Michigan this morning, and it's bad.
Yep. So inside and outside, from what he said.
Yeah.
Inside
wow.
the house.
Yeah. But anyway, in Ohio, you know, not too far from there. All right, John, ask, answer, or both?
I'll do both.
Which one do you want to answer?
The one about the woodpecker.
All right, it's true or false, John. Here's the question. A woodpecker's tongue is so long, it can wrap around its head twice. Is that true or false?
True.
It is 100% true.
Woo, way to go. Way to go.
I don't know whether to clap or not.
In fact, when it's stored in his head, you think that God isn't amazing in his creation. His tongue wraps around his brain and acts sort of like a seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
And there are a couple of little, for lack of a better word, airbags in the front and the back of the brain. Because all that pounding, God made that where, you know, it wouldn't just... you know, cause him to have brain damage. But you think about how amazing and clever and brilliant God is, and probably with a sense of humor. Duck-billed platypus, a woodpecker that's banging its head just, you know, 90 to nothing, and its tongue wraps around its brain, and its tongue is very, very long.
What does a woodpecker do on its downtime?
I'm going to say Advil, little tiny bird Advil. Just takes those and stretches out on the couch.
All right.
I still like book about what did Noah do with the woodpecker's tail.
And it's got a big picture of a woodpecker on the front of the book.
That's right.
Yeah. I wonder what Noah did with the woodpeckers. That was the name of the book. That's like 90s I wrote
and
that.
And your next one said, my life is a half-baked Christian, and you got a chef's hat and a funny stuff there.
Hey, John wanted to ask us. Go ahead, John.
He wanted to ask us one, yes.
Go ahead, John.
What do you call a cow that has had a calf?
That hasn't had a calf?
He had one.
A cow that had a calf.
A mother? Heifer.
A mother.
a heifer.
A heifer, is that what you call it?
Okay.
No, heifer is one that hasn't had a calf.
I think you call it, what would you call it?
Man.
You know what? I don't know.
I don't know.
Mama cow. What's the answer?
Decaffeinated.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Way to go, John.
Friday
John.
Morning.
We were looking hard.
Friday morning dad joke. Right on time.
I thought there was some kind of proper name.
Heifer. Hey, John, a heifer, is that a cow that hasn't had a calf? I forget.
What's the definition of heifer?
Right. I think it's a cow that hasn't had a calf. We had cows, and now I can't even remember.
I know. How soon we forget.
Well, all right. We're going to take a break right here. We thank Brother John calling in from the great state of Ohio. And we shall take a short time out. We'll be back. We'll reset our questions that have
heretofore
gone unanswered.
Heretofore. It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
And Jesus went on from there and passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into the hills and sat down there. The lowest spot in the world is the Dead Sea in the Holy Land. It is nearly 1,300 feet below sea level. The Dead Sea contains approximately 25% salt as compared to about 5% of salt content for the oceans. The Dead Sea is supplied by the Jordan River and a few small seasonal streams. When I first tasted the water in the Dead Sea, it sent a terrible taste through my body, despite the fact that I had only touched my tongue with a couple of drops of water. The water on my hands soon dried, and I was forced to take soap and fresh water before I could remove the feeling which the dried Dead Sea water left. Just a few miles up from the Dead Sea is the Sea of Galilee. It is one of the most beautiful small bodies of water in the world. The Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide and is some 680 feet below sea level. Its greatest depth is about 200 feet. There's no salt in the water of the Sea of Galilee. It is fresh water. Around the Dead Sea, hardly anything grows, but around the Sea of Galilee is one of the most fertile valleys in the world. The Jordan River is also the major source of water for the Sea of Galilee. The big difference in the two seas is that the Sea of Galilee takes water in and gives water out, while the Dead Sea only takes water in with no outlet. The only way water can get out of the Dead Sea is for it to be taken out through evaporation. You know, there's a symbol of life in these two seas. The Dead Sea is exactly that, dead. It takes all the water in but gives no water out. The Sea of Galilee takes water in and gives water out. The Sea of Galilee is surrounded by a living, growing, beautiful valley. The Dead Sea is surrounded by naked wilderness. And so it is with life. The person who knows how to give as well as receive will find life to be beautiful. The person who knows only how to receive and not how to give will find life to be only a barren wilderness. One of the basic fundamentals of life is that we learn how to give. If we never learn this, then we never really learn to live in a true sense of the word. I've known people who only take, who hoard everything they get, who aren't interested in anyone but themselves. And, on the other hand, I've also known people who know how to share what life passes on to them. I think you know the difference. I don't particularly like to visit the Dead Sea, but I love very much to stand on the Mount of Beatitudes and look over the beautiful Sea of Galilee. So it is with people. Those who only get and never give are never pleasant to be around. A person is thankful when he leaves their presence. But a person who can get and give finds he has people who truly love and appreciate his company. Oh, there's one other thing about the Dead Sea which I remember. It doesn't smell very good either. Perhaps there's a symbolism there also, but I'll let you figure it out.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've got some great tours lined up for March of 2027. We've got one tour we call the Footsteps of Paul tour. That's mainly in Greece, or only in Greece, including Athens and Corinth and Thessalonica. And then we've got a separate tour to Italy, where we're going to Venice and Florence and Pisa and Rome and all the sites of Italy. So you can do both of these tours if you want to. We've arranged that as well. Also, this tour of Italy, it's not like the Olive Garden tour of Italy, you know. We're really going there to Italy to see Italy and to eat Italian food too as well. So for information on any of the tours I've mentioned here, go to tours.afa.net. Tours.afa.net, tours.afa.net.
for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic point aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour, a three-hour tour.
The All right, welcome back, everybody. Gilligan's Island, an American classic right there.
I can't get over how many clothes they took on for a three-hour tour.
They were prepared.
They were prepared.
Yeah. And
fun little song that sticks in your head, too.
It's been there a long time. Yeah,
fun little song that everybody knows. Tim, can I make mention, next Thursday night, I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy opening for Johnny W. Maybe you've seen him with Tim Hawkins or Nate Bargatze. Green Valley Baptist Church, Pontotoc, Mississippi. It's a ticketed event. You can go to iTickets and just type in Green Valley Baptist Church. If you spell out Johnny, it's J-O-N-N-I-E. It's Johnny W. I think his last name is Worcestershire Sauce, so nobody can spell that. You can barely say it, so that's why he just goes with Johnny W.
All right, we're going to reset our questions here. Tim, Bert, and JJ, this is Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Go ahead, Bert.
Okay, Bible question. Which judge delivered Israel by killing 600 Philistines with an ox goad?
Well,
okay.
You take after 400, the other guys say, you know what, I'm out.
I believe I'd have ran away before that.
I just saw 400.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, I've seen them wipe out 400 of my colleagues here. I think I'm going to go to the house.
What's that Hebrew word for uncle, crying uncle? Yeah, that's what they need to know.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my Mayberry question. What is the name of the gasoline that is sold at Wally's filling station? Has a certain name. And then, since soccer, I had this one way down, but I brought it up since we're...
It's World Cup.
Football.
Yeah. Football.
Okay. But I'm going to stick with soccer.
Yeah.
What country has won the most soccer World Cup titles? There's a country that has won the most soccer World Cup titles. What is that country?
Good. Here's what I've got. I'm going to have to add a couple of new ones. Start off with this one. Which U.S. state is named the Silver State? Which U.S. state is named the Silver State? Second question, and this is right in your lane, Tim. In baseball scorekeeping, what number represents the third baseman's position? So you're there in the bleachers. You got the scorekeeper or up in the press box. In baseball scorekeeping, what number represents the third baseman's position? Third question, what are the two major elements that make up the sun?
Okay. My three questions are as follows. What is the Pillsbury Doughboy's real name? The Pillsbury Doughboy, what is his real name? What's on his passport?
That's what people are wanting to know. Not his stage name.
His real name.
When you're getting on a plane, what is your real given name?
Your ID. all right, my second question is, and if you can answer this question without looking it up or asking somebody, we'll send you a Trivia Friday T-shirt. Get it out right away to you if you can answer this following the question, and that is this. What states border the Great Lakes? What American states border the Great Lakes? And number three, my final question is, Snickers is the best-selling candy in the U.S. What are the next two? What are the next two best-selling candies in the United States, most popular with our American taste buds? How about that one?
I like that.
All right, let's go, Bert.
Okay, let's go to Oklahoma. Is it Dieta?
That's right.
Okay, Dieta, thank you for calling. Where are you from in Oklahoma?
I'm in the southwest part between Lawton and Altus.
Okay.
Okay, Dieta, I'm being nosy here or curious. You're the first Dieta that I've ever met. What's the story behind your name? That's very pretty. It's unique.
I don't know. My mother and dad just picked it out.
Way to go.
And you didn't know, you haven't heard if it's an actress or a
very
Bible name?
No, it was part of my mother's middle name.
Okay, that's pretty.
That's very inspirational.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So go ahead. Do you want to ask, answer, or both, Deanna?
I want to do both.
Okay, go ahead. Which one do you want to answer?
I want to answer the one about the states.
Okay.
Around the Great Lakes.
All right. This is for
you. Here we go.
You answer this. You haven't looked it up. You just do it in my memory, right?
No, I haven't looked it up.
Okay. Then you know what? If you get it right, we're going to send you a Learning University T-shirt. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What states border the Great Lakes? Go.
New York.
Yes.
Ohio.
Yes.
Illinois.
Yes.
Michigan.
Yes.
Wisconsin. Minnesota.
Yes. Okay, are you missing two? I'll give you 10 seconds.
Two. Would it be Indiana and Pennsylvania?
Yeah, bingo.
Yes. Wow.
Way to go.
You are bringing it.
Yes, so 8 states total border the Great Lakes, and she got them all.
Deanna, that's awesome. Great job.
Absolutely, Deanna. That's great. You know, for you to be from a landlocked state and know all this.
Now, how did you know that? You just love geography?
Mm-hmm. I taught history to fourth and fifth graders for years.
There you go, in the classroom. Listen, Thank you for being an educator.
Way to go.
Pennsylvania borders Lake Erie. Just barely.
Yeah.
Barely.
Barely. I've been there. That's Erie, Pennsylvania, is right on the lake. And it's right where I remember traveling through there, and you could smell the Welch's grape plant. Puts out a nice aroma there. It's maybe that's grape country. I'm not sure. But anyway, all right, so Deanna, go ahead with your question for us.
And make sure and stay on the line so we can get your shirt size and your address. Congratulations on winning that T-shirt.
Thank you. This is a football question because I've tried to get in several times during football season.
Okay.
What university had the most quarterbacks that either graduated or attended playing in the NFL during the 2025-26 year?
Okay,
hold on just a second. Just so I understand the question, you're saying in the NFL there is a college which produced the most quarterbacks that are currently in the NFL, right?
Yes.
Okay. Don't say anything, okay? We're going to talk amongst ourselves.
Would Alabama be in it? Because they've produced a lot, right?
They have.
Under Saban, you know?
They have. But you got LSU. You got Oklahoma. You got Jalen Hurts. You got Baker Mayfield. You got, I'm trying to think, maybe another one or two.
Her being from Oklahoma?
Probably.
I know that would not have anything to do with it. I mean,
Ohio State, too, has put them out. So we'll say University of Oklahoma, Deanna.
That's correct. There were 6 this year.
Wow. Nicely done.
Can you name the other ones? Yeah.
Okay, the ones that graduated were Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
The ones that attended were Spencer Rattler, Dylan Gabriel, and Caleb Williams.
Okay. Wow, what a list, man!
And I hear they have got it coming in this year.
Powerhouse.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's the way it is. Oklahoma's like a football factory there. Thank you, Deanna. Wonderful question, as JJ said, beautiful name. I've not ever heard it either before.
No, I haven't. Make sure and stay on the line. Congratulations on winning your T-shirt.
Who's up next, Bert?
Okay, from Missouri, it's Bob. From Deanna to Bob. Have you ever heard the name Bob before, or JJ?
No, I never have. Looks like you could spell it backwards or forwards, though.
Welcome, Bob. Thank you for calling. Where are you from in Missouri?
I'm from Bunker, Missouri.
Could you show us?
Oh, me. Wow.
That never gets old, does it, Bob?
Hey, Bob, where? If I look at the map where of Missouri, where is Bunker?
Well, it is south central. It is southwest of Rowlett and Salem. I'm sorry, southeast of Rowlett and Salem, northwest of Poplar Bluff.
Okay.
It is. I was born there. I was born near there.
Yeah.
Houston.
You were born near in a neighboring county.
Yeah.
Pretty much due west.
Okay. Yeah. Because my dad was in the service. He was stationed at Fort Leonard Wood, which is a huge army base there in the middle of Missouri.
Indeed it is.
Bob, ask, answer, or both?
I would like to do both, and I would like to also state my esteem for the professors.
Fire away. Esteem yourself.
Esteem away.
No, my esteem is for you. I'm declaring.
Oh,
that
oh, okay. No,
professors.
Hey, listen, we're just men, Bob, just like you. I mean, well, you know, yes. I mean,
one leg at a time.
Yes, yeah.
But, you know, I mean,
we practically put our pants on one leg at a time, like other.
Granted, highly intelligent, sure. But you know, but just still, we're not, we're like
humble about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the glory to God, but there are things worth noticing.
Hey, thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
I get ask, answer, or do both.
People
sir.
Confuse me with Brad Pitt all the time.
Yeah.
That ever happened?
No, I can see that though. Yes.
I get it all the time. I just say, well, thank you. I don't even try to explain myself
That's right.
anymore. I'm not him. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Who would have known? Well,
yeah.
Go ahead, Bob. Which one you want to answer?
I would like to answer the doughboy question.
There we go. That's right.
Okay.
All right, see. Bob. Get ready. And this is really a baby boomer question. I like to have one of the Bert likes his Mayberry questions. I bring the baby boomer question at least one a week. Try to. And the question before us, which Bob from Missouri is going to answer, is what is the Pillsbury Doughboy's real name?
I believe that his real name is Poppin' Fresh.
Poppin', yes.
Right JJ there.
JJ
Poppin'
Fresh. Got it.
Poppin'
Let it go.
Fresh. You know, I didn't know that. I just knew him as a Pillsbury Doughboy till I looked. You know, I saw that question when I was searching. But how'd you know that, Bob? You just remember that from the back in the day?
Well, not only do I remember it, I would like to read you his obituary.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's worth it. This is going to take a couple of minutes, folks, but it's worth it.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
The Pillsbury Doughboy, remembered as Poppin' Serve or Poppin' Fresh, mm-hmm. died yesterday of a severe yeast infection mm-hmm. and trauma complications from repeated pokes in the belly. He was 71.
Yeah.
Doughboy will be buried in a lightly greased coffin. Dozens of celebrities will turn out to pay their respects, including Mrs. Butterworth, Hungry Jack, the California Raisins, Betty Crocker, the Hostess Twinkies, and Captain Crunch. But we're only a third of the way through.
Right.
The grave is expected to be piled high with flowers, spelled F-L-O-U-R-S.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Aunt Jemima mm-hmm. will deliver the eulogy. And she lovingly described Doughboy as a man who never knew how much he was needed.
Mm. That's pun-ish, man.
It is. Doughboy rose quickly in show business, but his later life was filled with turnovers. He was considered a very smart cookie, but wasted much of his dough on half-baked schemes. Despite being a little flaky at times, he still was a crusty old man and was considered a positive role model for millions. Doughboy is survived by his wife, Play-Doh, three children, John Doe, Jane Doe, and Dosey Doe, plus they had one in the oven.
Oh, man. There you
that's
go, ladies
good.
And gentlemen. That's
Thank
the
you.
That was just an
that was worth the
Pillsbury
Doughboys mission.
All right, all right.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Poppin' Fresh.
Did you have a question for us, Bob?
Indeed, I do. And it is related to the question that I answered from you the last time I was on. That question was, what is cyanophobia? But I want to riff on that with a multi-part question. If it were spelled, well, it is spelled C-Y-N-O-phobia, meaning fear of dogs, from the Greek word. But if it were spelled S-I-N-O-phobia, what would it be?
Sino.
The fear of sinning?
Oh, that is a very good incorrect answer. It is fear of signs. I'm sorry. That is fear of China.
Oh, the fear of China.
I hear that xenophobia all the time. They call it xenophobia. And
you fear of something in your kitchen?
In your cabinet? The fine China?
Is that what we're talking about?
We're talking about the country.
Oh, the country of China.
China.
Like a Sinophile is a person who loves China.
So not fancy dishes that you put out when guests are there.
Yeah. I knew somebody who had that. that you brought out the
fine China.
They just started trembling.
Yeah.
It was really weird to watch.
Right, right.
Because you wouldn't think something like that would freak people out.
And there's not very many 10-step programs.
No. Well, you give them a paper plate and hope for the best. You know what I'm saying?
Recovery. Hey,
Bob, thank you, Bob. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Let's repeat our question real quick, fellas.
A Bible question. Which judge delivered Israel by killing 600 Philistines with an ox goad?
Yeah.
And second one, what is the name, Mayberry question, what is the name of the gasoline that is sold at Wally's filling station? And remembering the World Cup, what country has the most soccer or Federation International Football Association, FIFA? How many out? What country has the most World Cup titles?
Here's what I've got. First question, which U.S. state is nicknamed the Silver State? Second question, what?
Ohio. Right. Silver.
Oh,
see what I did there?
I did, yes.
I got that.
I missed that.
Kemosabe, I got that. Okay.
Kemosabe.
That's the southern way I said it. Yeah.
Second question, in baseball scorekeeping, what number represents the third baseman's position? Third question, what are the two major elements that make up the sun?
All right, here's my question. Snickers is the best-selling candy in the U.S. and has been for a long time. What is number two and number three? Number two and number three, if you know this, again, if you know this without looking it up, I'll send you a Learning University t-shirt. So just put that challenge out there. What are the top two best-selling candies / candy bars after Snickers? All right, and then it drops off, but these two get close to Snickers. All right, who's next, Bert?
Okay, it is Zipporah from Ohio. Zipporah, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes. What part of Ohio are you from?
Rushylvania. It's like 30 minutes outside of Bell Fountain.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, nice Bible name there.
Yes, it is.
Right there in the... as Moses is traveling along.
Yeah. Well, you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'll do both.
Which question you want to take a stab at?
The judge question.
Okay, here it is. Which judge delivered Israel by killing 600 Philistines with an ox goad?
Shamgar?
That is correct. Way to go.
Nicely done.
He's one of those unusual guys that stuck in there, but 600. I got a sermon. He did what he could with what he had, and it worked.
That's good.
He only had an ox goad, so God gives us what we have to do a task. He may only be simple, but God, if he's given it to us, we need to use it.
Amen. Good little mini sermon.
Ox goad.
You think about the guys that stood in the lentil field, and they had a stick, and, you know, took on like 1,000 or whatever it was, like these David's mighty men and all these other exploits. It's just amazing to see. Everybody hears of Samson, but you don't hear so much about these other players, these other significant people in the Bible.
Well, an ox goad was like a spear with a point on one end, which they could point and stick the ox. And then on the other, it was flat so they could clean the wheels from it while it was pulling the cart. So it was a weapon at that.
Yeah.
So one man, was it one man or
one
more?
One man, Shamgar.
Took on
600 Philistines 600. With an ox goad and got them all.
Now, the guy in the center pulled the mic down and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner we've got 600 of the bad guys. In this other corner we've got one man with an ox goad."
Okay.
That's it.
That sounds unbelievable.
It is. Well, yeah.
Did they wait in line to take him on? I mean, how, just like 600, because more than one man
you
at
must,
one time.
You must not have seen Braveheart.
He's in Chuck Norris's ancestry.
Okay.
Okay.
Go.
Does that explain
okay, yeah.
it? Is that,
that
enough?
That helps.
Okay.
It?
Hey, Zippor, you got a question for us?
Yes. So it's kind of a music question. Who was the famous whistler, known as the Whistler, who made the music / movie company Columbia well known in the late 1800s?
Oh. A whistler?
Thought it was the Vanderbilt Whistler. Now, so
the baseball guy.
You'd get it.
Yeah, I would. Repeat that question real quick, Zipporah. Go ahead.
Who was the famous whistler who made Columbia well known in the late 1800s?
Hmm. Made Columbia? The country?
Or the record company?
Like music and movie. Yeah.
In the late when?
1800s.
No
well,
clue.
I mean, Annie Oakley, she was around that time, but she wasn't. Well, you said it was a dude, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, or I wouldn't have been.
Mm-mm, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know unless it was, yeah.
Give us the
answer.
All
right, give us the answer.
Is my great-great-great-grandfather, John York Attlee.
Wow. What
well,
a legacy.
Zipporah, did he hand the gift down?
Can you whistle?
Are you a whistler?
We love whistling on the Attlee side. I like whistling. My dad loves whistling, so kind of, I guess.
Zipporah, these guys don't even know this. See, back in the day, you know, whistling was a big deal. Vaudeville, radio, everything. My dad whistled on the radio, yeah. And he could whistle. He was like an expert whistler, and he whistled on several radio shows.
Seriously,
and you guys didn't even know that. So I know what she's talking about. Back in the day, like that little thing that Andy Griffith, you know, at the beginning of that show, whistling was a big deal in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and it sort of died out.
My grandmother would call my granddad that way out in the field when they would. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Back in, we remember.
Right.
Either that or holler, but, I mean, it was a big, a loud, they could whistle back in the day.
Sure. Hey,
right,
thank you so
Zipporah.
Much for that. That's great. What a wonderful story. Have a great weekend.
What do we got? A minute left here. We're about out of. What I'm saying is, let's don't take a call until after the break.
I've got something to share. You guys didn't even know. Don't want to bring whiplash to a show that's really funny. These are words that Tim Wildman shared 17 years ago today. Allison and I drove the Jasper family home from the hospital the afternoon of the accident. It was surreal. How could Cooper be dead, but he was not with us in the van? We left him at the hospital with a sheet over his little body. From those moments forward, I had a front row seat to see this family's reaction to the tragedy that had befallen them. Although experiencing soulful anguish few of us can even imagine, they stayed true to God and never wavered in their faith in Jesus Christ. 17 years ago today, our sweet son Cooper died. Tim and Allison drove us home from the hospital and American Family Association, American Family Radio. They treat us like family. And boy, we miss that little fella. Hard to believe it was 17 years ago. He would be 22 years old today, but we're going to get to see him again. That's the good news. And Jesus is the hero of our story.
How can people read this story? You recorded it in a book called Losing Cooper.
It's in our store. and Flame On, the DVD. It's out there in several platforms. You can watch that for free. That was the first movie, the first documentary that AFA made. And then again, the book, Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.